Good morning and welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 6:01 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down to Corpus Christi now and check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Good morning, Cliff. And we don't have him. Is he potted up or do we need to call him back? Yeah, call him back, see what's up, man. Oh, well. He does have some. I was texting him a little bit yesterday, back and forth. He sent me some photos, and sometimes the text wouldn't even go through. Goodness, this day and age. Anyway, well, let's check on the winds right quick while we're trying to get Cliff back. It's still calm. I'm looking across the board, and it's 3 to 6, 2 to 5, 2 to 3. It's just virtually no wind, variable, different directions. All right, Cliff, let's try that.
All right, we're back. You got
Hey,
you,
look at there.
I was getting a bunch of interference. I was hearing the national anthem, all kind of stuff there. I couldn't hear you, though.
Right.
It's nice and clear now. Got you, man.
What's going on? Boy, that was a beautiful photo you sent me.
Both of those photos were off the chart, man.
Man,
oh,
the
God.
Water was so slick and the sun coming up, and you could see the moon overhead reflecting in the water in that photo. That's as cool as
it
gets.
Yeah, Shane took that picture of Chip, and it was just, and I took that one picture of the sunrise that morning, and it looks like a painting. All those pictures are cover shots. It's just amazing.
It is. That's clear. That's Chip in the picture, and the moon is, you can see a reflection on the water to the left of him, and then the sun coming up in front of him.
And he's catching big fish, too. I wish I could have got, I wish we'd have got a shot of some of the fish, but, it's typical. We took a lot of pictures. Didn't take any pictures of the fish.
He's a good stick.
Yes, he is. I enjoyed fishing with Chip every time he comes. It's a good group of guys. But, we take off Monday morning with them, and it's just really calm and beautiful. And we're all going to wait. By the way, I got my new Southerly waders, and they're bad to the bone, dude. They're something else.
I got mine, too. James got his, and, hey, here we go.
I've worn them, every day I fish this week. 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, I got to wear them wading, and the boots are so comfortable, it's incredible. Very impressed. The guy has definitely got it going on.
How's the grip on the bottom of them when you're getting in and out of the boat? Good grip on them where you don't slip and all that?
Yes. Two things about the boots that's a big improvement. They're lighter, and so you don't feel like you got Frankenstein. Yeah, you don't feel like you got those Frankenstein boots on getting in and out of the boat.
Yeah,
another
moon
thing is
boots.
They don't hold mud. They don't hold mud, and they drain. They drain real quick. And then what Southerly did I really like is down by your ankle, they got a little Kevlar sheet that goes over your ankle. It hooks onto your boot, doesn't let any shell into your boot. Or, like if you stumble on a rock or something, it's not going to cut your boot or cut your waders there at your feet. So that was very good. But then up around your chest, it was very thoughtful how they got the waterproof pockets for your phone. And then a place to snap your BOGA grip on, which we all use down here. It's got right there on your belt. And then the belt is built inside the waders. And so you don't not constantly have to look for your wading belt. It's right there. It snaps in. It stays in the waders. It's right there.
Right.
But, so far, I'm very impressed. And of course, the shoulder straps, that's another big improvement. They took that from the backpackers in a very comfortable shoulder strap. Because when you wade day after day, you're going to get some rubs on your shoulders, especially with all those clothes on and stuff. So it's nice to have a very flexible shoulder
strap. Well, I like where they're one piece right in the middle of your shoulder, and then you have the two straps that come right over each shoulder. And good elasticity in it, the good stretch and tightness. And
you don't Mike Harry. He's not going to take anything unless it's good. And So Mike's on a real good roll there. I'm very impressed with that. I've just got my waders and boots. I don't think I've got a jacket yet, but I'm sure they're coming. All that I haven't seen all that yet, but I'm sure it's all coming. But very impressed. But anyway, I'll get back to the fishing this week. It's just been off the chart. I pull out of the marina early. We leave with spotlight and we get down early. We're on a bite with a major's like 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock, so we're going to be behind the bite on a full moon. And so we know that those big fish are going to eat those mullet in the shallow water at night, from 2 o'clock in the morning when that moon's bright, they're going to smoke those mullet. And so I run to the sunken islands where I've been catching them. And I said, the water's still real high and I had not got to wade it yet. I've been fishing with a trolling motor. So, you know, today we're going to wait it, and I'm excited because I
you going on a Saturday?
No, this is a Monday.
Oh, that's what you're just saying. Yeah, I got you. Today we're going to do that. I got you.
Yeah, so it was, you know, so we're gonna do it today on Monday. So we pile out, and on the way down, that sun starts rising, and right before I get the spot, I have to shut the boat down and take those pictures. That was just that was some of the most incredible sunrise. I've seen a lot of sunrises, Mickey, in Costa Rica, Mexico, but I tell you what, I'll put that one up against any of them. That was cover shot stuff. So anyway, we stopped, you know, about a mile before the shot, took the pictures, you know, and so I pull up to these sunken islands. They're about, this island's probably 3/4 mile long, and it's normally out of water. And it's got about 1.5 feet water on top of it. And so I put Chip and Shane, I put them out on one end, and I take the other guy and I go down about, 3/4 mile, so we won't be fishing together. And I pull into the spool and I put him out. I put Brent out. And so I can't really see what they're doing. I can hear them, but they're pretty far away. Mm-hmm. I really can't hear what they're doing, you know. And I hear them catching fish. I hear them blow up, and we're throwing top one. I hear them, and I hear them hoop and holler, and I can just tell they're catching fish, you know. So I'm walking out. My guy, I'm trying to tell him, I said, look, man, these fish are on the outside of the sand on these grass beds. We got to throw out. And I said, they're not up on the bar right now. You can tell from the bait. They haven't moved up there yet. They were up there last night eating these mullet, and they pulled off. They're kind of sulking out there in that 3-4 foot of water. They're all full. And so the only way we're going to get a bite is we're going to have to trick them. I mean, we're going to have to make them. We're going to have to make them eat. It's going to be a tough bite.
You're
going
to have to tick them off, man. Make them mad. Yes, you are, man. Topwaters dragging it all over the top of them, you know.
And then we got conditions where it's dead calm. You know, then you got sheets of grass. You really can't see the grass. It looks like a different slick. So you got to really be careful not to throw in the sheets of grass, you know. So.
Right.
Anyway, I'm throwing out, and my other guy's throwing, and I'm trying to turn him around and say, man, we got to throw out. And about the second cast, man, I get this ungodly blow up. Boom, just smokes that sucker, man. I reel in a 7-pound trout, 29 inches, 7 pounds. My second fish, you know, I know there's some big fish in there, man. There's some big fish in there. And I look over, and my buddy's throwing a topwater, but he doesn't have any sunglasses, doesn't have a hat. And so he really can't see those sheets of grass.
Two things stacked against him right there, man.
And you know, he's got the old neoprene waders with boots in him. So he's having a hard time with stingray guards. He's having a hard time. I mean, I don't think he fishes a lot, but he's having a hard time. He's trying, but... And he throws the top water out, pretty much just reels it in across the grass. So I'm trying to get him off the grass, trying to teach him how to do it. And I throw a top water out there, and I pause it, talking to him, and pow, whoom, a 5.5-pounder pulls out.
Oh, just sitting there? Yeah.
Just sitting there, man. And I catch another 3 or 4 fish over 4 pounds in there. It's just some really nice big fish. And
goodness.
And by then, I got just a little bit of wind growing, and I can see the sheets of grass. Now I got it. Now I can throw around it better, you know. And I'm looking at the bait. All the bait that was flipping has kind of gone down and started moving up shallow. I think, man, these fish are getting ready to go off on top of this bar. And so I put a Meridine XL, the big one, the silver and black, the one I normally throw in a surf. And I chunked that sucker parallel down to that bar. Our first cast, Mickey, boom, about a 7-pounder piles on it. Bam, big fish. He comes out of the water, starts rocking the top, you know. And I'm trying to get my boga on him. He's hooked right in the top of the head. And those big old hooks are trying to get in my knuckles. He's trying to jump into my
Lord.
Hand. I said, so I just grab my hand, rip some line off the reel, let him run out there again. I ain't dealing with this. I'm not going to poke my new waders. I'm going to let him chill out a little bit because he's getting ready to run into my way. I just can see it all happen now. He's going to run into my waders and stick me with those big old hooks, you know. I let him run around. He goes right to the bottom and sticks that plug on top of his head and just rips it out. I'm going, God dang it. You know, trout are so smart. But anyway, I had him. I had the leader under my hand, but that was good, you know. So, and my guy's probably, he went to a plastic. And once he went to a plastic, the old shrimp tail, you know, the old Kelly Wigger shrimp tail, which is a great bait, the old school stuff, I think a white with a pink tail, he started catching some fish. So I told him, I says, hey, Brent, I need to go check on my guys down here. So I leave him there, and I walk back to the boat, and I go back down to check on Chip and Shane back there, and Chip's just wearing them out on this point. He walked out where this little gap between these the islands, like a little flow coming through the island. He's sitting there on that point, and he's catching big trout like crazy on top water. And awesome. he's already got his three on the stringer that are perfect, 18 to 20, just perfect on the stringer. And Shane's catching fish too. Shane had a little reel problem. I think a button popped out, wouldn't come in or something for a while. Something happened to him. He was shut down for a while, but he got it going. But anyway, so the morning's just made. I mean, we caught a lot of really nice fish that morning.
Yeah.
And so, like a dummy, they shut down and Cliff leaves. It's just like, you know, what am I doing? You know, they just took a little break. So I said, grass is green and let's go look around. And I should have stayed on them. You know, I should have stayed right there with the Mickey. And I left looking for better places and didn't find it. You know, the place I was catching all these redfish on the shoreline, the reds were not there, you know. So we struggled the rest of the day. We had a decent day. We caught fish everywhere we stopped, but it just wasn't like those islands, you know.
Yeah,
but I hate that awesome. When I hate that when I pull off fish like that. God, yeah. You know, they were just taking a break. That's all they were doing. You know, just taking a break.
And they'll do that. That's when you go back to the boat. You take a break. Everybody tell a few lies to each other. Get you a good snack. And hop back out and go after them again.
I know. Shane and Tripp both. They brought a whole bunch of that Proshik stuff. I should have went back to the boat and ate all their food, but we tried to go somewhere.
They probably
else.
Stopped in there and loaded up on the way down, man.
Oh, they do. All my guys do. You know, it's just that's good stuff too. God Almighty, man.
Mm-mm-mm.
But anyways, it was just one of those great days, and couldn't wait to go back the next morning. You know, so it was good. And you know, Chip is being a professional golfer. He can handle a rod and reel pretty good. I was pretty impressed. I keep forgetting how good he is, but he kind of led the
pack. Hand-eye coordination, man.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
Golfers fish and fishermen try to golf, but
mm-hmm.
They end up being better at both of them than we do. We're good at one, but not the other. So that's
you know, just doesn't have a lot of downtime. You know, it's when you're in big fish and you have a lot of downtime. It really makes a difference on what you catch in that 2 hours. So you got downtime with equipment problems and stuff. You're not going to, during the bite, you're not going to catch as many as a guy that's got good equipment. He's on top of it. He's not having any issues. He's in there, you know. So
I tell my guys, I go, you know, one of them will have a lot of trouble starting off in the morning like that with all this stuff. I said, you went into battle with an unproven rifle?
Oh,
man.
Hey.
If I'm gonna book a guide and go to all that trouble of getting a trip in, and I'm gonna make sure I got the best stuff in my hands to fish with. There's not gonna be any issues equipment wise.
I know, and I get a lot of that guys. You know, had the 30 year old waders and the 30 year old rod and reels, and I think he had it was an Ambassador 55C, the red ones. You know, just it's okay, but it's not what you know. It's not a Hondo. It's not what we're throwing nowadays.
I mean, you can do it. It's okay. If you want to, but it's not. It's not the same.
But I tell everybody, bring sunglasses and a hat. That's one of the most important tools you can have.
There's no way I could fish without a hat and sunglasses. I'd go back to the dock.
Yeah, I carry an extra.
I'd go find me some. I can't do it. All right. Well, let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll come right back at you, buddy.
All right, Dick.
All right. Well, I need to talk about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles on display, plus regulators, diffusers. They refill your bottles there at the store. If you need more info on it, call Jason Cogburn, 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Guff seafood, no farm-raised at Boyd's. If you're looking for good, fresh, quality shrimp, check out their 9-12 counts or 15-18, 16-18, whatever you want to call them. They have the sizes and the quality. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out really good food at affordable prices, and their food truck over in Santa Fe, they do a heck of a job there, too. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:19 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, my friend. He dropped. That's it's one of those days, isn't it? And can't get him back. Come on, man. Anyway, but he's on some good fish down there right now. That's good to hear. That's December's going to be even that much better. It always is. pretty impressive, especially when they're eating topwaters like that. And you know they're going to eat everything else, but it's sure is fun getting those huge blow-ups, doing your thing on that. But and that's what's special about this time. Soft plastics are always going to work. I mean, always. I mean, nothing's going to catch numbers of fish and even big fish like soft plastic baits. But all right, let's see where we can go with this. All right, Cliff.
Yeah, I've been dealing with the phone off. Yeah, and it's been so bad this week. I've had people send me texts at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone dings, and I got their text. It's just stupid how this
Weird. You sent me those photos yesterday, and I texted you back talking about them, and then I got an alert on my phone. So, well, it didn't go through. We're trying again.
No.
And then during the middle of that, you texted me back, and it's weird.
Yeah, people try to call me for trips. I don't get their call. It really irritates me. So if I don't call you back, I did not get your call. I don't ever not call nobody back. So just, you know, text me or something, because it's just a nightmare. With it. My wife and I will sit here and call each other on the phone, and we're both holding the phone, and neither one of them will ring. It's like, what? You know, it's like, you know, if you want to drink water and use your cell phone, don't come to Corpus.
You know? Boy, that ain't no joke. You may have to go back to old school, man, go to a hard line again.
Oh, God almighty. Anyway, so it's all good, man. Man, so I got to tell you about Tuesdays. Tuesday was something else, man. So I got Chip and those guys again, you know. So, and the weather's just, you can't ask for 2 days of better weather. You know, just absolutely dead calm in the morning. You know, no boats. Monday, we never saw another boat. Well, on Tuesday, they got a 20-boat trip. A bait trip, so the marina's crowded. They're all got their croakers. They still got piggies, you know, so it's hard to get in. But of course, nobody's running where I'm at. You know, I'm running pretty far down. I'm running real far back, so it's really not a problem. But anyway, so the wind's calm, but it's got a light west wind to it. It's that 5 or 10 mile an hour light west wind. I do not like a west wind. It's a kiss of death. And I mean,
not many people do, brother. Not on the Texas coast.
When you can smell the cattle off the King Ranch shoreline, it's not a good thing, you know. So anyway, of course, I'm going to go back where I slanted them. I told them, I said, this time, guys, we're not going to mess around. We're going to stay on these islands. We're going to stay on these sunken islands all day. We'll go to plastic, and we'll just wait for the bite. We'll move. We got 5 or 6 miles of these islands to hump, you know, jump around. We'll stay in there, boys. So that was my plan. So I pull down there, and, of course, the wind's out of the west, and we pile out of the boat, same situation. And excuse me, Mickey. I almost had to sneeze. Anyway, so I put Chip out and Shane and we go back to the other end. Same thing we did, you know. We kind of get a little closer together this time so we can see. And we pull out Mickey, and there is no bait. There is nothing on these islands. It's just been covered for 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks I've been slamming them on here. I couldn't wait to wait. And that west wind, those fish were way out deep. They were 200 yards off those spoil islands. You can see them working bait out deep. And the porpoises are out there on them. So I said, man, these fish have pulled off here for some reason with this high-pressure wind. And I look at my phone. I'm at almost 31. So the pressure went up with that west wind. So I said, man, that's crazy. So I said, let's go fish some deep drop-offs. That's what I normally do in high pressure. So we all pile back in the boat, you know, and I'm headed farther south. And I get to the end of this bay, you know, where I'm going to fish. And it's slick calm. I have not seen a mullet. I have not seen the bird. I see one dolphin up there, and he's anorexic. I mean, he ain't eating nothing. He's bumming, you know. So I go, God almighty, what is, you know, by this time it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. You know, I'm going, well, I'm getting ready to get into that midday major anyway. Maybe I'll find something. And I run down a little farther to the shoreline, and I'm looking over to the shoreline, and I see solid redfish tails, like orange palm trees just sticking out of the water, just dozens of them, big ones. And they're close enough where I can ease in with a trolling motor and get them. So I shut down. I says, hey, boys, we're gonna catch some of these redfish on topwater right now while, you know, we're going to take what's given to us. We're going to take it, you know. So I drop the trolling motor down, and we ease in there, and they start blowing these topwaters out of the water, these big reds. And I kept seeing these big fish. Like, there were some trails where the boats have made big prop washes, and these prop washes are probably just about kneecap deep, you know. And these big trout were laying in those prop washes. And we couldn't see them, but you could see them moving. And Chip went throwing out there, and these big trout just blowing these topwaters out of the water, Mickey. They're monsters. Oh. I mean, big trout. And they're pulling down in the grass with these little, we're throwing small topwaters. They're pulling down. They're getting off. And we can't really make them out to throw a plastic. We don't know where their head is, the tail is. We really can't make them out. We're just blind casting. And about the time I look out there, and I think it's a big black drum. I can see the back and everything. It's laying there. It is huge. And about that time it raised its tail up, it's got spots all over it. And I go, oh, my God, that's a trout, man. That is a monster trout. And this fish is popping about 18 inches of water, Mickey. And so Chip's got a little super spook on the small one, and he makes a perfect cast, lays it right there in front of me. This fish smokes it, and his whole back and tail and head comes out of the water. He's all up in the air. And this fish is way over 30 inches. This fish is a double-digit fish. Oh, and I told, we don't get him, Mickey. He just runs out. We never see him again, you know. And I told Chip, that's the biggest fish you never caught. But that's just the way it is. But there was one absolute behemoth in there. That was a monster. That's what normally happens when you got those big bunches of redfish. You'll have a couple of really big trout in there with
them. Yeah, some of the biggest trout I've ever caught have been near redfish schools like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, just an absolute monster. You know, so we get some nice big trout on top water and stuff. Then I kind of pull off to the deeper grass beds. As the wind came up, they put their tails down. Typical redfish. Once they get a different temperature air than the water, say your water is, you know, our water is running about probably 70 and the air temperature was a little warmer, they put their tails down. You can't see them. You're just fishing wakes. And so we pull off. We start blind casting and, you know, we catch some nice trout. I mean, decent keepers, you know, up to 18, 19 inches and a few reds. I think we caught 3 or 4 nice reds doing that. And then a couple of my guys go, hey, man, we want to wait out there. And I says, no, you don't. And I said, this is some muddy stuff right here. And anyway, I pile a couple of them out in the boat and they just bog out real quick. I had to go get them. But there's some areas down here you just don't wade. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, it's just too muddy. But man, we had a couple of really good days with your buddy there. That's just, man, something. And he was telling me that he was giving James some golf lessons. So I'm excited to hear about that, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, he's been helping James a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you still play with Chip occasionally?
Man, I had to quit playing, man. It was just taking too much toll on my lower back and my knee and stuff. It was a good run. Live to fish another day. Yeah, that's golf. I mean,
oh my God.
And I got tired of being miserable.
Yeah, yeah. Just like me surfing. I went surfing yesterday, you know, and it's, you know, all those young guys out there, they have such an easy time getting out. The old man gets next to the rocks and rides the current out. You know, when I'm out there, you know, in the old days, I just duck dive and just paddle straight out through the surf. I don't care how big it was. I'm getting out, you know. Nowadays, they go, well, you know, it's kind of nice and calm next to the rocks there. I'll just ride the current out, you know, and hop on there and listen to elevator music while I paddle out, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like elevation skiing. You need a helicopter drop. Put you down in the water and throw your board in the water and jump in it like we used to jump off the pier when it was real giant.
Oh, I know it, man. I know it. I know it. But the surf has really been good. And they're still catching fish in the surf here, Mickey. It's still catching reds off the surf and jacks. And so I think after this
run. The redfish run still going crazy around here. They're starting to catch quite a few slot reds in the surf around, you know, San Luis Pass instead of bulls. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. They're seeing a lot of that. And a lot of jackfish. I don't know why these jackfish are still here, but they're catching jacks, big jackfish.
Yeah, they're foraging up before they make the run, pull out of here.
I know. Well, my buddy Jetty Bob got 2 tarpon yesterday off the rocks. It's incredible.
Oh, did he? Well,
so,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So he took Will, his buddy, and they go to Port A, and they walk all the way to the end of the rocks, you know, and they throw these big spinning rods, like 9-foot spinners, you know, with big topwaters on, and Will actually caught a five footer, fought it for an hour and pulled it up on the rocks, and they got it. And then Bobby throws out there, Bob, and gets about a 6-footer. He said 100-pound plus on. He said he fought that fish for 45 minutes and it jumped off. But anyway, it's so cool. He caught 8 2 years ago. He caught 8 off the rocks. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is very impressive.
To actually land 8 of them. So
yeah, that's cool. That's big time.
I like that jetty fish.
The man in the silver suit. Nothing like it. That's a heck of a fish to catch. It really is.
Oh, I know.
Nobody's
it
ever
is,
caught
you know.
One. They need to. Just like big snook. Same thing.
Oh,
you
I know it.
Big giant
when
snook.
I fished, when I went down with Brian Burr and tarpon fished, there was guys that went to Boca Chica there, and they were pulling up on the beach and walking down those rocks with those big champ spoons and catching those tarpon off those rocks. And I think Brian's done it several times. I think I saw a picture of Brian pull about a 150 pounder up on that rock. Knowing him, he can. If anybody can do it, Brian can. You know, but I think he's caught them from the rocks on the beach and the boat. I think he's caught them everywhere.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Cliff, I'm going to cut you a segment short this morning. I'm going to go live with Bink Grimes after this.
Oh, man, that's great. I can't wait for that.
See what's going on in the duck world. But, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing, they need to. Sounds like
Bubba,
to me.
It's getting good. It's getting good.
Yeah, man. Throw out a number, Cliff, if they can get you.
All right, buddy. I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Hey, can't wait for this next segment. Thanks, Mickey.
If they can't reach you, just send up smoke signals. They'll get back to you.
That's it. Yeah, just keep trying. Don't stop. Because if I don't call you back, I didn't get it. All right. Thank you, Mickey.
Brother. Hey, Cliff, have a good day. Good talking to you, man.
All right, buddy. Fish on.
Angler U is committed to steadily expanding their library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience, and they steadily expand their library of videos to cover all topics, and they're archived. That way you can see patterns over time. And educational videos with instructional topics, they cover all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to anglerU.com. You can become a member today. And with that membership, you'll receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. That'll save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:34 here in the Bayou City. All right, we're going to go live from the blind with Captain Bink Grimes this morning, see what's going on. Good morning, Bink. How's it going?
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, man.
I almost missed y'all's call. It's been fast and furious.
Well, that's good.
I just happened to hear it. Good thing.
Well,
that's a good thing.
Let the ducks hear it. We're ringing in, man. We want to hear some action.
Well, we ain't got many left. We can shoot. We've got, I don't know, maybe 20, 21 in the bag so far. So
dang.
About a half teal.
Sure.
About half, probably a dozen gadwalls. And
the proverbial
probably 10 teal.
I love what I'm thinking. Yeah, more gray ducks.
We got a ground fog. Yeah, we got a ground fog right now too. So they're just appearing out of nowhere. We let this pond sit all week, and man, they're just appearing out of nowhere, and just sitting on top of us. You got a ground fog and no wind, so we're just kind of trying to be quiet and let them do their thing. But
you're gonna have
every shot
in the morning, bro.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, but. Every shot's been about 15, 20 yards. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been pretty good.
Yes, sir.
A few more ducks showed up, as of yesterday. I guess they showed up Thursday night, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so more geese, more snow geese showed up, too. So
right.
That's a good thing, kind of a barometer of what's going on. So.
Cool.
We're happy to see that. Yeah, we needed it. There wasn't many ducks here last weekend. We did really well, but there wasn't many ducks here. Just wasn't.
We ought to get a pretty good push of them with this front coming.
Man, I think so. I'm kind of anxious to hunt in the morning. And
well, tomorrow morning I'll have you on earlier, too, a full segment earlier.
Oh, okay.
Because Rihanna's only able to talk one, so we're going to go to you for two.
Okay. Well, we can do that.
Send Sunday out on a bang, baby.
I hope so.
Yeah. I bet you get them tomorrow.
Then we got to turn around. I got a big group coming in the lodge tomorrow night.
That's what Charlie said. Y'all got like 15 or 20 boats on Monday?
Yeah, it's It's going to be a river day, but there's fish in the river. They ain't bit in the last two or three days, but they're there.
Yeah.
You know, they're going, I think they're going to bite with this cold. I really do. I think we're going to lose some of that water. What happened, you know, that river, when the tide comes back up, which it did, it kind of, and it warms up the water. They shut it down, and then you lose your tide again, and everything rolls back in the river, and temperature drops, and they eat again. That's just, you know, I don't really like fishing the river. I mean, it's wonderful to have on days like Monday when you can get in there and catch them, but it's not, you know, it ain't my first deal.
Right.
I mean, it's wonderful to have, don't get me wrong, but man, it's my last resort, you know.
I know.
But, you know, it just is. I want to catch them over shell or, you know, wade. Right here.
Here we go.
Oh. Coming back. Get ready. I lost him in the fog.
It's easy to do.
They just appeared, a pair of gadwalls. You got to really be quiet in the fog, too, because...
Yeah, it magnifies your voice.
Oh, man. Yeah, it really does. We lost it. They just kind of come floating through here.
Hello.
But, yeah, getting back to the river, you know, we're in a drought, like everything, so there's a lot of fish up there. There's a lot of fish all the way up towards Bay City, you know?
Right.
So... they just keep going upstream when it stays as salty as it is. But that's probably what we'll be doing Saturday. I mean, Monday. Throwing worms at them and getting them. We were talking about it, I don't know, probably about 7-8 years ago. I had another big group at the same time. Front rolled in, and it calmed down, and me and another guy went to East Bay. I got to East Bay, and I was out of the 11 boats we had. Me and the other guy were the only one to East Bay. The other 9 boats went straight to the river. And I said, man, I'm going to the bay. And I got to the bay, and the water temperature was 45 degrees in the bay on November, like, the 11th or 12th. Y'all probably remember that. That's 7-8 years ago. And everybody's calling me, oh, man, we're getting them. I turned around and headed to the – made that probably 20-mile run, and – stopped the boat and made 10 casts and caught 10 trout just as easy as she was, you know. So hopefully that's what happens on Monday. And then there's days when I you know, when it snowed the last time, man, when was that? That 8-9 years ago, in December, I had the same guys, and they said, man, what are you going to do? It's snowing. I said, man, I'm just telling you, I'm going to let you do what you want to do. If you can handle the cold. He said, I ain't no guarantees. I'm going to tell you that. I don't guarantee anything, but I'm going to guarantee you tomorrow we're going to catch them in the snow, and you're going to be able to take pictures of limits of trout in the snow. And, I mean, we went out and got in that diversion channel and got done at about – there's just two guys. That's back when you could catch 10 apiece, and we caught 20 of them by about 7:45 and turned that boat around and got back to the dock. It was cold. Still, there was still snow on the dock there at the harbor, and just one of them river deals, you know. Nice to have.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm looking at my phone. Here we go.
Was that 17 or 16 or 17? I think.
Well, we had a snow this past January, and then the other one was. Wasn't it 2021 or?
Might have been. I think it was longer than that. This trip I'm talking about, I think, was longer. But I think yeah. I think we did it.
Right. So. Yeah, we had that good snow this past January, and that's
Sure did.
I got so many pictures on my phone; it'll take me days to find what you're talking about. It just.
I might
have to go to the cloud on that one.
We were throwing glow chartreuse bass assassins straight tails that morning, and just you couldn't get it back. He could.
I love
have
it when it's like that.
Within days. Oh, man. You know, and you're just bass fishing. You're throwing up against the. And I had two really good fishermen that, you know, just good fishermen that can make that cast and let it come off the bank and drop from 2 to 5 foot and just thump, thump, thump it, you know. So.
Yeah, I remember last time I fished down there. I can't remember whether it was with Charlie, but one time we went with Tommy, and that old northeast wind was up that morning, so we went to the river, and that's when Tommy fell in love with the lilies. We're throwing them up against the bank, jigging them down, and they were just smoking them.
Smoking those lilies.
Yeah, just like bass fishing with lilies, man.
Our we had a guy this week that caught him in the river on topwaters. He went up and I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and got up away from the boat traffic and put those topwaters up against there. And I love to do that. Now I do it a lot of times in the diversion channel, when it's halfway decent, when it's in the 60s this time of year, because the tides are out and all those flats around the diversion channel and dumped right in there, and some fish will be right there on the edge, and they will come up and smoke a topwater in November.
We know it's time of year, too, now in December, to get in that Brazos River and catch some big trout, you know, throwing topwaters against the bank there, red fins and stuff like that. Remember old Ronnie Doomsnail used to do it?
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
I used to catch some toads doing that.
Sure did. It kind of turned off for us, boys. I don't have much to show you.
I'm telling you, let the outdoor show call, and man, the ducks quit flying. Isn't that something? That's amazing.
But they did hit us pretty daggum hard, I can tell you. I can tell you, we're sitting on 20-something, so we only need a few more. But
I can hear your dog.
They came hard. We had one little group had 12 gadwalls in it that just sat about, 10, 15 yards from us.
Oh, gosh.
You forget about all the bad times, when
bring rain. It's raining ducks.
It is. Yeah, more specks showed up on the prairie north of us, and pintails. And
I heard some in my house the other night, some specks. Mm-hmm. And then one day during the middle of the day, I heard a bunch of sandhills getting here.
So that's good sign too.
Yeah,
the coops still hadn't showed up yet.
And the white pelicans showed up on what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? Man, they were flying in from real high. You could see them coming down, hitting the coast.
Well, it was one last night in Minnesota, and I think Canada's got a lot of snow on it too. So
right,
everything's pushing. I had to really have a run. That's probably important. I said, if you say, I'm sure I could show them positivity out there. Let me see if they know what would be okay. I have to pay right now. Yeah, we'll tell the truth, but I'd hate to write it and show up about the time.
Hey, hours later. Bing. You're getting real digital on me.
Oh, am I?
There, now it cleared up. It was just, was going,
But so, now what I was clear. Saying. Okay. So, I don't know what you heard, Jim.
We didn't hear anything.
I'm saying I write that report for Ducks Unlimited, and I had a deadline on Wednesday to write the Central Flyway report to show what's going on, and so I asked him, hey, give me a couple more days. I don't want to write doom and gloom, because it's doom and gloom down here for everybody. I said, this frontal could turn things around. I'd rather write a little positivity. We're going to tell the truth, but I don't want to write this thing Wednesday, then everything shows up Friday morning.
Right.
So that's what we did, and it kind of worked out. I mean, this whole game can change in a heartbeat. Everybody, just like tarpon, they're gone.
Well, the bad thing with duck hunting is, you got your spot, and if they don't come, you don't get them. It's not like fishing where you can pick up and go somewhere and find them,
That's right. You got your spot. Exactly.
You're committed,
right,
and you got to roll with it.
Scouting is so important. I mean, a lot of people think we just show up and hunt, and man, there's so much hours of preparation before each hunt.
Because
you want it to be you try to stack all the odds in your favor, and you try to control what you control, and then there's just some things you can't control. But good scouting is kind of cuts the degree of difficulty out. Kind of helps.
Right.
You spend a lot of time out here, you know.
Had a listener shoot me a text wanted to know a little bit about your dog.
Oh, yeah, she's 6 years old, little black
in her
lab,
prime.
Name Lou. Yeah, she's the best I've ever had. Me and my wife were talking about it the other day. Man, what are we going to do? Because she's six, so if I could get another 6 years out of her, which may not, you know, she's 12 then, and most of them don't live.
It's hard for a working dog to live that long.
Mm-hmm. Especially a marsh dog like this one.
Yes.
That she's in good shape, but she's the best I ever had, and I've had four or five.
She a black lab, yellow lab, mm-hmm. or what?
Yeah.
Black
mm-hmm.
lab?
Black female.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, she's a nose on her like I've never seen. If I can get her anywhere downwind anything, it's over. So
yeah, they get a smell for that duck blood, buddy. It's over with.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like a dog with a good nose.
Oh, there's not. And I mean, it's just like athletes, and you're better. There's a lot, you know, there's some that are better than others, a lot of them better than others. And just like athletes, I mean, it's,
yep.
she's a good one. And she gets to hunt so much too. It helps when you get to practice a whole bunch. She gets to practice a whole bunch. A guy that only hunts 9-10 times a year or two, you know, his dog just, you know, it doesn't get the repetition. Kind of like if you only swing the bat a few times a year, how are you going to be any good?
You're not.
You're not.
You're just not. And there's some that can swing it all the time, and it's just not. They're not. They don't have it.
No.
Well, that was a heck of a World Series. I hated the Blue Jays win because I'm just not a Dodgers fan, but they do have the best team money can buy, no doubt about that.
They sure do. Aggies play today at 2:30. That'll be a good one to watch.
Right.
Play Missouri. I don't know who Texas has today.
College Saturday.
And the Texans have the
– Yeah, I'm dreading that tomorrow. Yep. CJ,
we got a chance. We may not score, but we got a chance. We can keep scoring. So,
well, we got a hell of a defense.
I'm telling you, man. If we just show up and can score from the 1 yard line, we'll be all right.
That red zone hadn't been too good to us this year.
I just don't understand how you can't score from the 1 yard line. I mean,
can't punch it in.
It's so hard. Even Seth said that the other day on the morning show. He said, man, do you know how hard it is not to score from the 1 yard line?
I know, especially when it's first and goal.
That's so true.
Guarantee it'd be a four down situation for me. I mean, hey, if I was coach, I'd say, hey, you didn't get it on the third try. You're going to try a fourth time. You don't deserve a field goal.
I know.
Four down territory.
Yeah, it's not blowing at all down here. I guess yesterday it blew from the southwest and kind of muddied the bay up a whole lot and sent a lot of people reeling to the backwaters. But it's not.
No, it's calm.
It's
this
not,
morning.
It's not blowing. Yeah, it's calm. It's going.
That's
it's
what
gonna
I was telling
around.
Charlie. He was worried about that southwest wind today, and I said, "Well, so far so good."
I don't know, when's that thing supposed to hit? Is there a time?
Tonight.
Early evening?
Just forecast just says tonight. Man, okay. The highest wind we have here now is 2 out of the southwest.
Believe that.
It is
calm. In the decoys? Cut him now, boys. Cut him, cut him, cut him.
Did they get him?
I sure did. They had to.
They had to?
Yeah. That's pretty. That's pretty.
What was it?
Yeah, it's an old model duck. Old model duck.
Oh, a modeler. Boy.
Mm-hmm. Pretty model duck.
Yeah, you couldn't shoot those last weekend.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't shoot them till Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Thursday's first day you can get them. That's it.
On top, boys. On top. Coming around. He disappeared in the fog.
Killed any widgeon this year yet?
One last Saturday when I got off the air with you. When we got off the air, you know, we didn't shoot a whole lot on the air last week too. When we got off the air with you, man, we ended up having, I think, all three groups last week combined. I think we shot, it wasn't full limits, but it was 5.2 birds a man. We ended up doing really, really well with just very, very few ducks, you know.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it ended up being a pretty good Saturday. I mean, that opening weekend was the slowest overall that I've ever seen since I've been alive, you know, just overall, you know, for everybody, you know. I mean, we were very fortunate to shoot what we did, but yeah. Overall, there was a lot of guys that didn't, you know, just had a tough time.
Listen, that dog.
Oh, there's one out on.
She loves
water.
It.
She wants to go get the there. I had to let her go because we had too much.
Oh, you got a floater? Got a floater out there? That's what's wrong with her. Daddy, I want to get it. Those dogs are incredible, man.
They are. They sure are.
Great hunting dogs and great companion dogs, the whole nine yards. Just a good family dog.
Yes.
Well, I got to bow out of here already, man. I was hoping y'all would get another volley in or something.
Yeah, we just need one now, so we'll probably get it when we get off there. But we had a good hunt.
One more for your limit, and that's good. Well, we'll get to you earlier in the morning, and maybe we can get in on the action even better. All right, Bink, throw them out some info. Somebody wants to reach out to you, buddy.
MatagorSunriseLodge.com, 979-241-1705. Everybody have a good Saturday.
We're going to do it. All right, Bink. See you, bud. Later, man.
Okay.
All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.